continue our series, Strength Training, Growing in the Things That Really Matter. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. There are things that Christians say they believe about the nature of God. They say that they believe that God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means that God is all power, all powerful. That there's nothing beyond God's power. He can do anything. He's omniscient, we will say. That means he's all-knowing. He knows everything. Nothing that God doesn't know, including our secret thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows all those things. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere, present, all the time. There is no place that God isn't present at any moment at all times. And the fourth one is sovereign. God is in control. He's always in control over everything. Now, the spiritual implications of those four things are radical. I mean, there's just, we could spend a long time talking about those four things and how they relate to us in our lives. But one of the things that we need to recognize is that if we believe those four things, it means that your life is never out of God's control. There's never a moment where there's something where he's lost sight of you or he's lost control of something in your life. Everything is you are in his sight and under his control, and everything in your life is. And nothing in this world, in reality, is out of God's sight or control. Everything. The Bible teaches us that God, in his sovereignty, did something that is fascinating to me. He gave mankind free will. He's in control. He's sovereign over everything. And then he let man say, okay, now you decide what you want to do. You do what you want to do. One of the great mysteries of Christianity is how God gives free will and retains sovereignty. It's one of those conversations that have been going on for 2,000 years. How does that work? You know, we have people that go both ways. No, God is only sovereign, and man isn't free will, or man is all totally free will, and God isn't sovereign, and they go back and forth, back and forth. Both are preached, both are taught clearly in the Bible, both are absolutely true, but they're also mutually exclusive. It's one of the mysteries. So why is that important to us as men? Because sometimes we act like God isn't one or more of those four things. We act like he isn't there. And sometimes behave as if God is not in control. Something happens in our life and we lose it. Oh no! Or we get angry, we get frustrated. And you're like, why is this happening? Doesn't God care? And remember, everything that comes into our lives has come with a purpose, has come for a purpose, ordained by God to do something inside of us. And that's what we're focusing on in this series, and we'll focus on the retreat. It's the inside of us that we need to deal with. Our problem is we often don't allow that work to happen. We don't allow the things that God's trying to do inside of us to happen. And when, through our free will, we don't let God's work happen, there is a negative impact that we experience. There's a negative consequence to not letting God's work happen in your life. And we can learn to avoid those negative impacts. And so that's part of what this series is about, what all of the things we do are. We want to learn how to live this life in a way that we experience all that God wants for us, and we avoid all the things that God doesn't want for us, the things that are bad for us, the things that harm us, the things that lead us away from that right relationship with him. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men. Lord, I thank you for any man that might watch this online later on. Lord God, that you would use this for your glory, that you would use it to minister hope and peace and grace and mercy, Lord, to anyone and everyone that might come in contact with this material. That, Lord God, you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. That, Lord, you're doing a work inside of each one of us. You want to work on the inner man in a way that the outside of us is transformed because of what's going on inside of us. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be open to hear what you would say to your men here today. I thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Kevin said, the title of this morning's message is Rotting or Renewing. That's a pleasant title, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians, he begins chapter 4, by telling them about the nature of the ministry that God gave them, him and the ones with him. We'll pick it up in verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You're basically saying it's all about Jesus. Our ministry is all about Jesus. And frankly, that's what all ministry ought to be about. It always ought to be all about Jesus. And too often, we see ministries that start focusing on self. They start focusing on social issues, starts focusing on all of these things. Ultimately, everything we do ought to draw people into the presence of Jesus Christ, because only there can they have any hope of experiencing the life that God wants them to. You can say all day long that, you know, you can live your best life today or whatever that knucklehead says. But the reality is, without Jesus Christ, without your life fully and completely submitted and yielded to him, you're never going to live the life that you really want. You're never going to live a life that's good, and you're certainly not going to bring any glory to God. And faith will certainly not grow. It's all about Jesus. Always has been, always will be. And we need to never forget that. And he says here that really doesn't make us special. It just makes us useful. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Basically saying that, you know, we have this amazing, you know, ministry, the gospel. But it's in this earthen vessels. That means, you know, our flesh. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. People look at us and say, okay, that must be God, because you guys are pretty pathetic looking. I wanted to go off on a whole tangent right there. Not going to do it. Then Paul tells them this ministry is not easy. Verse 8, but we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Paul didn't shy away from the hard work of the ministry, and we're going to see in a little bit just how hard it was for Paul. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the things that you need to understand, that we all need to understand, is that there are no spectator Christians. God doesn't save us to be spectators to this thing we call Christianity. We are all called from the moment we're saved into the ministry. And we like to say that, you know, I was called into the ministry, which means ultimately you get a job at a church. That's what they typically mean. But that's not the reality. The reality, the moment you're saved, you're called into ministry. You're called to be a minister. Now, it won't be as radical as Paul's, I promise you that. No matter how amazing you think you are, your ministry is not going to be as radical as Paul's. But every single one of us has a ministry. We need to understand that, because if we do it, we're going to recognize that at times it's going to get hard. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, Paul talks about this ministry. Now, all things are of God. Note that. All things are of God. What things are of God?
All things
are of God. Ooh, that's important to us, isn't it? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, see this, given us the ministry. Who's us? All y'all is us. That was for Larry. Given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, that means that God sent Christ to reconcile the world back to God. That means he wanted to deal with the differences. What's the difference that the world has with God? Sin. And so he wanted to deal with the sin issue and bring mankind back into a right relationship with God. Now, Jesus did that on the cross. But now, Paul says here that we have the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, we lead them to the cross. so that they can then be reconciled to God. It's our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ, all of us, in whatever way God has made you, and all of us will do it differently. My way of doing it is standing up in front of a bunch of knuckleheads and talking to them about the Word of God, talking to them about Jesus. That's my way of doing it. Your way may be different. Your way may be working on cars in some way. Several guys working on cars. And whatever way God made you, He made you in a way so that you can minister to the world around you in a way that helps people to see Jesus so they can get to that place where they can be reconciled to God, so they can have that relationship with God that He's called us to. Nothing's going to come into your life that didn't come there by the hand of God.
That's right.
Our text, the text I really want to focus on is down at verse 16. So jump down to verse 16 and we'll look there. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Paul is saying here that even though things are hard, matter of fact, you know, sometimes they're unbearably hard. Sometimes life just is miserable, difficult. Life is being sucked out of you. So we don't lose heart. We don't get discouraged. You know, discouragement is a natural response to difficult things. One of the natural responses to difficult things. It's one of the ones that I have dealt with over and over again in my life. For whatever reason, I am more vulnerable to discouragement than virtually anything else. It's just one of those things. For whatever reason, my nature is I am vulnerable to that one. It is just natural, and something just happens. And we got to understand something. It does just happen, but it's a choice for us to stay there. And that's what we have to understand. Just because you feel something doesn't mean we have to stay in that place. When I'm feeling discouraged, I don't have to stay discouraged. I can move out of that. I can choose not to be discouraged. In Galatians 6:9, it says this, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Again, if we choose not to be discouraged, meaning when we do catch ourselves, being discouraged or whatever emotion rises up in you, anger or fear or whatever it might be, you know, you deal with it and you move past it, you move through it, and you don't stay there. Paul is continuing here in verse 16, telling us the outward man is perishing. One of the first things I want you to note here is that Paul tells us there are two parts to men. An outward part and an inward part. You know, one of the doctrines of Christianity is that humans consist of an immortal soul housed in a mortal body. That's what's going on here. That inside of each of us, inside of every human body, is an immortal soul, a soul that will live forever. One of the things I'm going to share tomorrow in the message is that, you know, science says that our sun has enough energy to last for about another 5 billion years. Our soul will still be around if God actually allows the sun to last that long. I think He has a better plan for it than that. But if it burned out, we'd still be here. We'd watch it happen. Our mortal bodies are temporary dwelling places for the soul while we're on the earth. While we're on this earth, this physical body we have is just a dwelling place, just a tent, as Paul will refer to it just in the next chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says this. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, meaning if something happens to this, we have a building from God. There's something that lives on, something more eternal than that. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I'd rather have the eternal than this mortal. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, by eternal life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee that we all have this immortal soul, the eternal soul. It's going to live forever, and that God has prepared a place for that eternal soul to dwell for all of heaven. And there's a part of us that longs for that. Especially as you mature in your faith, you long for it more and more to cast off the tent and get into that better house. You know, it's like you know, living in a, never mind, I'm just gonna get another tangent. Stay on task. Peter talked about that too, 2 Peter 1:13-14. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Peter's saying that, you know, hey, I'm about done here. You know, I'm about to graduate, promote, or whatever term you want to use, and I throw off this tent to get my eternal dwelling. At some point, no matter how strong you may be today, this mortal body is going to wear out.
Yeah.
You know, my mom has a saying, you know, no one gets out alive. You know, you're not going to get out of this life alive, at least not with this physical body. But our spiritual body will. And Paul says, back in our text in verse 16, he says, the outward man is perishing. You know, the outward man is not just our body, but the desires and passions of this body. And that word perishing means decaying, decomposing, wasting away, gradually incapacitated. The idea being is that this body, no matter how good it is, no matter how strong it is, no matter how much energy you put into it, it just isn't going to last. There's a multi-billion dollar industry in our culture to try to prevent what is inevitable, right? You know, aging and death is inevitable. Ultimately, you might delay it for a little while, but, you know, the Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed for man to die once. That there is a death coming, and there's nothing going to stop it from happening. And, you know, and I want you to notice how matter of fact Paul says, the outward man is perishing. The outward man is perishing. He's basically saying, just accept it. Yeah, you know, this body is wearing out.
So true.
And then, he says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And sometimes we focus too much on the outward man. We focus on things and we get caught up in the reality that there's stuff going on in our bodies, especially if we start to age. Things that aren't working as well as they used to. Things are starting to, you know, ache. I'm starting to feel things on my joints that I never felt before. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? And my doctor says, dude, you're getting old. What? I'm paying you money for this? Old and fat is what he usually says. You know, Paul says that this inward man that is being renewed day by day, this is the part of us that loves God in response to him. Romans 7:22 says this, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. It's this inside man that responds to God. It's the inward man that is redeemed by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The outward man is unredeemable. There is nothing you can do to redeem the outward man. The only thing you can do with it, Paul said in Galatians 5:24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The only thing you can do with the flesh is to kill it. That's the only thing of value, that this flesh, this outward man, is unredeemable, cannot be redeemed, cannot be made right, cannot be made holy. The only thing we can do is suppress those passions and desires to the point that we can allow that inward man to grow and be renewed and be all that God would have it to be. It's being renewed. The word renewed means to be or become reestablished in a like new or often improved manner. And Paul says that is happening on a day-by-day basis. Day-by-day, we're being renewed. Something mysterious happens when we receive Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We usually use that scripture when we're baptizing people. When we're saved, we are a new creation, but not a perfect creation. Perfection does not come in this life. It comes when we are in the presence of Christ. That's when perfection comes. You go back to 2 Corinthians 4. Paul's words here are meant to change our perspective about life. And ultimately, much of the Bible is here for that purpose for us, because we often assume the perspective of our passions or desires, our flesh, or we assume the perspective of our culture. You know, whatever the culture thinks, that's what I think. That's very common. You do that without thinking about it. You know, we're so inundated with the signals and the teachings and the influences of this world that we are influenced by those things. We are controlled by those things. And it's not something we choose to do, it just happens to us. But Paul's words are meant to change our perspective, you know, and to cause us to see things that we don't look at otherwise. We just wouldn't look at them. We wouldn't stop, we wouldn't pause, we wouldn't examine, and we wouldn't say, okay, what am I thinking? What am I doing? Why am I doing? He wants us to see through the physical, material, perishing world to the eternal, glorious realities of heaven. That's what he wants us to do. We sometimes get so consumed with the things around us, with the stuff that's influencing around us, that we lose sight of the heavenly realities. And it's those things that will allow us to interact with God the way that he would like us to. God's goal in every man's life, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how long you've known him, doesn't matter how strong or weak your faith is, his goal in your life is to make you better through a renewal process, this process of renewing day by day, until you resemble his son. And that's going to be an everyday thing for the rest of our lives. The problem is, we live in a world, a perishing world, that distracts us. Anybody get distracted? I know I do. This stuff happens. You know, my phone bings. You know, bing. Okay, the world needs me. The world's got to, I got to stop because the world needs me right now. And we let it happen. Does it make us evil? Just makes you broken like the rest of the world. God's trying to do something in us. And so in the next two verses, I see three perspectives that we can adopt to become better men. I mean, isn't that our desire? Shouldn't it be something we desire for our lives to be better?
Yes.
Than we are? I think it should be. I think it should be goal. I think it should tell me, I want to be better. You know? And you know, I often challenge people and ask, you know, how much better does God want you to be? Just better. You know, we think, well, I gotta be perfect. No, you don't. Just be better. If you're better and better every day, what is the end result? Just better. And who's gonna benefit from that? Well, everybody in your world is going to benefit if you're in better and better. Who's going to suffer if you don't?
Everybody.
Everybody around you is going to suffer if you don't. This is so important to us as men, especially because God has ordained men to lead. And you can argue this, you can get all feminazi and all that stuff, you can get all politically correct, and you can say all that stuff and get into all that nonsense that's going on in the world right now, but the reality is God created men to lead, not because we're better, because in many cases we're not. He did it because that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then he created the whole world system so that the world would function best when men are leading. And so when we're leading, the world is functioning the way that it should be. And we're not leading, things start to fall apart. I know in my own marriage, when I'm not leading, I can sense the conflict. I can sense something is out of order when I'm just going through the motions, or I'm just not, I'm abdicating my responsibilities to my wife, who's not equipped to do what God ordained for me to do. Got to get these things and get them right. And as we do this, we look at these three perspectives. We see how God wants to renew us day by day and make the inward man better. God's not concerned about the outward man. He's all concerned about the inward man because he knows something. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside of us comes out of us. God's not going to redeem. He's not going to change the outward man. He did that with the law. Remember the law? He gave us the law, gave the Israelites the law to control the outward man. That's what he was trying to give them, these rules and regulations, control their behaviors. What did that do for them? Not a lot. It was only as Christ came in and we have this opportunity to be renewed from the inside, have this restoration, this new creation to come out, that we have even the possibility of being good, being right, being better than we are today. And as you look at this, also one of the things we want to see is that he's applying these perspectives to the reality of the outward perishing man living in a perishing world. Because all of us are, the outward man is perishing, and we're living in a perishing world. So there's perishing going on all around us. You know, we are living and breathing perishing all around us. But we can be renewed day by day as we allow these perspectives to have their influence on us. The very first perspective for becoming a better man is scale. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the beginning part. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Light affliction. You know, Paul said in verse 16, but we do not lose heart. His whole chapter has been we. Paul including himself in the dialogue here. And Paul says, we do not lose heart. He's including himself. I want you to turn to chapter 11, just a page or two to the right. 2 Corinthians 11. To appreciate the immensity of what Paul just said, we need to understand the afflictions he endured before he said, these light afflictions are but for a moment. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22, it says this, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure, meaning being beaten with a rod. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, flogged 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and many people believe he died in that time and was raised back to life. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Go back to chapter 4. If I had made the statement in verse 17 and said, oh, our light afflictions are but for a moment, you would have just blown me off because, you know, what have I experienced? You would disregard it as, okay, that's easy for you to say, Rick. You know, many of you have experienced things far worse than anything I've ever had to experience. But I'm guessing none of you have experienced anything even remotely to what Paul's experienced in his life. And we only saw, I believe, a summary in chapter 11 of the things that Paul endured. There was more. Paul said, after all of that, even after all the stuff I've endured, this light affliction is but for a moment. That doesn't mean the things weren't hard to deal with. We can tell absolutely that those things were miserable. But having the right perspective can change the way we relate to those things. An example for me is my back. I occasionally have lower back problems. I've gotten out of joint a number of times. I can't even keep track of how many times now. When it first happened, I thought the world was ending. I thought I may never walk again. You know, I may never walk upright again. You know, it was a huge deal. It consumed my mind. But the last time it happened, my perspective was that, well, this has happened lots of times. I can endure this. I've been through it enough times. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the chiropractor a couple of times, and then a couple of weeks from now, I'm going to be better. And so it didn't make the pain any less. The pain was just as bad, but my perspective had changed. The perspective was, I know I can get through this. I know I can get to the other side of this because I've done it so many times before. My perspective was on the other side, not the beginning, not in the center of it, but I was at the end in my perspective. And that's what we need to do. And I've taken that perspective to other things in my life. I can look at it, well, if I got through that, then I can get through X, Y, or Z. I know that I can do that. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. He's saying, stop looking at these things from the moment. Stop looking at these things from the depth of the pit that you find yourself in. Now, you're going to find yourself in a pit. You're going to find yourself in difficult circumstances. You're going to find yourself in brokenness. You're going to find yourself in pain and suffering. You're going to find yourself in all kinds of afflictions as we go through this life. He says, don't stay there. He says, change your perspective. Change your perspective to a heavenly perspective. Brothers, understand something. When you get to heaven, in 1,000 years, you're going to look back on this. In 1,000,000 years, you're going to look back on this life and say, what was I whining about? Why was I grousing about that little thing? You know, in this world, in this life, it was a tragedy. It was horrible. It was difficult. And brother, I know some of you guys have gone through some hard, hard things. But when you get to heaven and you've spent any time there, you're going to look back on this life and say, wow, that was nothing. That was light. That was but for a moment. And if we can start to train our mind to think that way today, it will change the way we go through those things. That's what Paul is saying to us right here, that when we come up to those afflictions, they are light compared to eternity. They are light compared to heaven. They're but for a moment compared to eternity. You know how long eternity is? Neither do I. I have no idea how long it is. It's for a really long time.
Tell us.
A really, really long time. We don't even know. Because it's not going to be the way we understand time. But we're going to look back on this little momentary time that we call life on this earth. And I wonder if we're going to get there saying, what was I sniveling about? Cry, baby. Yeah, it doesn't make those things any more fun. Doesn't make them any less painful. Doesn't make them any less miserable. But we perceive them differently. We recognize, okay, this is bad. This is hard. But I can see the other side of it. I can see the other end of it. And again, there are some people that are going through things that ultimately they may not get out of them. There may be some things in your life that they're going to continue for the rest of your life. Sometimes it's a consequence of our own poor choices. We end up having to live with those things for the rest of our lives. But there is something beyond that. There is something beyond this life. And we have to move to the end. We have to get ourselves beyond the now, beyond this life, and start seeing it from the perspective of eternity, from heaven. And when we do that, it changes everything. Compared to eternal perfection of glory in heaven, anything we have to endure in this life is light affliction, and it's but for a moment. The second perspective for becoming a better man is purpose. Verse 17, second half, read the whole thing. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The outward man is perishing. And you know what comes with perishing? Pain. Pain comes with perishing. It's hard, it's difficult, it's painful, it's miserable to perish. And so if this outward man is perishing, that means that pain is going to be one of the consequences of that. Pain is a reality of living in a world broken by sin, in a world that's perishing. Pain can be physical, it can be relational, it can be emotional, it can even be spiritual. God does allow pain to touch our lives. And this is one of the things a lot of people struggle with. You know, I'm a Christian, everything should be perfect for me. Yeah, good luck with that. God never promises that. God does allow pain to touch the lives of his people. And the glorious thing about that is God doesn't waste that pain. He uses it for his glory. I will never fully understand sin and how and God, why God allows what he allows. We're not going to understand that on this side of eternity. But all we can do is recognize the Bible tells us he uses it for his glory. Paul understood that. Remember the thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says this, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul speaking, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul recognized, okay, I mean, whatever it was going on in Paul's life, he wanted it gone. He wanted it out of his life. You know, many, you know, suggest or believe that it was an eye, some sort of an eye disease, some sort of an eye problem. Whatever it was inhibiting his, it was hindering his ability to do the ministry that he believed God was calling him to do. And he told God, God, I want it gone. And God said, no. This brings glory to me. Now, nowhere do we see God explaining that to Paul. Paul asked for God to take it away. God said no. Paul said, okay. Next. And he moved on to the next thing. Notice, and Paul says here, this light affliction is working for us. Working for us. When we trust God in our pain, when we trust God in our affliction, when we trust God in these difficult things that come to life, it brings great glory to him. Nothing, in fact, brings more glory to God than when we trust him in our pain. When life gets hard and we still trust God, God gets great glory from that. But there is a sense here that God's going to use that pain for us. He's going to do something in us as well. He's going to do something in that inward man, in that part of that renewal process will be through us trusting God in our pain. And there's also a sense that there is a compensation, an eternal compensation, that is attached with our pain. As if the more pain we endure in this life for him, for his glory, that there's some kind of eternal compensation. Now, that's not clear what that is. I'm not going to try to tell you. You're not getting a better mansion in heaven. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll get my Corvette. I don't know. But I believe as we trust God in our pain, And he says here that it working for us a far, look at these adjectives, if that's what those are, I don't know what they are, my English is terrible, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory for us. There's something in it for us. There's something in our affliction, when we endure affliction, for Christ, we endure affliction in a way that brings glory to God. There's something in it for us. Now, we don't do it for that reason. I don't believe we should ever do anything for what it's going to do for us. We do it for God. We do it for Jesus. But it's nice to know there's something in it for us, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's nice to know, okay, I'm not just doing all this and then they get to the end and God says, hey, thanks, that was a little nice of you. No, you know, the idea that there's something in it for us is one of those things that helps us to, you know, in those times when, you know, when it gets really hard. I mean, if you ever been one of those times where it's really hard, and it's really hard for a really long time, sometimes you need extra anchors. You know, if you've ever been in a storm, you know, they start throwing down anchors. If it's any kind of, you know, it's in a little wind, you're throwing down an anchor, but it starts getting really hard, you start throwing down extra anchors. This is an extra anchor. You know, when the storm is really bad, having an extra anchor out there will help to seal you in to be able to ride out the storm. I believe that's what this is. Also says here that the reality is that this whatever this is, you know, our pain is but for a moment, but this glory in heaven is eternal. third perspective of becoming a better man is vision. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is an exhortation to us not to focus on the outward life, the perishing outward life. And that's what we tend to do. We get distracted. We get attracted to these things in the world around us. We get, you know, whatever our pain is, that becomes the center of our attention. We recognize that the pain and afflictions have a way of grabbing us. I know when my back is out, I have a hard time thinking beyond the pain in my back. You know, Kevin can relate to that. I know some of you others can relate to that as well. Whatever your pain is, whatever your situation is, sometimes you can't get outside of that. You can't get away from it. It's natural. The fact that we have recorded, even in this book, Paul's thorn in the flesh proves that it happened to him. You know, Paul had a situation where his flesh was getting in the way of his work. He wanted to do some things for God, but this thorn in his flesh, this pain, this affliction, whatever it was getting in the way. But the key here is, where did that thorn lead Paul? It led him right into the presence of God. He went right straight to God and said, God, I need you to take this away. And he heard from God and said, no, I'm not taking it away. And Paul said, okay. And then he says, now I glory in the affliction. I recognize now what God is trying to do here. Listen, that which fills your vision fills your life. Whatever you're filling your vision with, that's what's filling your life. If for you it's pain and suffering, if that's what all you see is the pain and suffering of your life, then the fruit that your life bears will be the fruit of pain and suffering. If you fill your life with, fill your vision with Facebook and Instagram and all those other things, or YouTube or Netflix or whatever it might be, that's the fruit that will be born in your life. Whatever you fill your vision with is what you'll fill your life with. And your life will bear the fruit of where your vision is. Or you can do as Paul did with the thorn in the flesh, and you can use your pain and afflictions to drive you to God and let Him fill your vision. Let God fill your vision. Let His word fill your vision. Let His plan, His glory fill your vision. And then the fruit that's born from that ultimately will be the fruit of the Spirit. This outward man is perishing because we live in a sin-broken world that is perishing. We are sin-broken creatures living in a sin-broken world, and it's all perishing. Becoming a better man begins with changing our perspective. Perspective of scale. As big as your issues are, the right perspective is that they are light and will only last for a moment. There's an end to that. Purpose. God will use those things, whatever it is in your life. That doesn't have to be affliction. It could be whatever it is in your life. He's going to use them for His glory in this life. And there will be a result of immeasurable glory in heaven. But that is exactly, we'll have to wait until we get there. And then vision. Change what you're looking at. Look through your circumstances. Look through the things of this world to God. See God on the other side. See God through these things, especially in the pain and suffering, because He is the one who is able to carry you through those things. If you just live in your pain and suffering, you're not giving God the opportunity to help you through those things. And we have a choice, guys. We're either rotting or renewing. And if we focus on the things of this world, things of the outward man, we're focusing on just what makes the outward man happy, or focused on escaping pain and suffering, or focused, whatever we're focused on the outward man, then we're not allowing that work that God wants to do on the inward man to happen. And the outward man is rotten. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much energy you spend there. If you focus all your attention, you're focusing on a rotting corpse that eventually will finally lay down and they'll put it in the ground where it belongs. But until then, guys, we need to focus on what's really important. That's the inward man. You have to take care of the outward part. You have to take care of that because we're good stewards of all that God's given us, including this body. Take care of that. But that's not where we live. We're going to live in the inward man and allow the inward man to do that work so that the outward stuff that comes from God would be glorified by. We either focus on the outward man that is perishing or on the inward man who's being renewed day by day for the glory of God. Change your perspective and you'll change your life.